WBZ H 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming ABC on the Civic News. Media
I'm
app.
Morgan Norwood. Border Patrol officers are bracing for more crossings at the U.S.-Mexico border following an unexplained surge. ABC's Matt Rivers is in El Paso.
Border Patrol has apprehended, according to preliminary numbers, 9,000 people on Wednesday alone, numbers that we have not seen since the spring. And some of those crossings have turned deadly. We're learning from the Texas Department of Public Safety about several deaths near Eagle Pass, Texas. A body was found on Thursday, with DPS saying the man likely drowned crossing the Rio Grande River. He joins two children, a 3-year-old and a 10-year-old, also swept away by river currents.
Tropical storm Ophelia has formed off of the mid-Atlantic and set to make landfall tomorrow. Storm warnings and watches stretch from the Carolinas to Delaware. Democratic Senator Robert Menendez says he's been falsely accused after a federal grand jury indicted him and his wife on bribery and corruption charges. This is ABC News. In Los Angeles, a pilot program underway for a new app called Safe Stop. When police pull someone over, the driver can video chat with the officer before they approach the car. The aim is to diffuse tensions before a face-to-face interaction. Despite waves of tech layoffs, jobs in the industry are still among the hottest.
A decent salary, the prospect of advancement, and a focus on work-life balance. U.S. News and World Report says that's what job seekers are looking for. The magazine is out with its list of best jobs for 2023. Four of the top 10 are in tech positions. Most of the others are in healthcare. Job number one, according to U.S. News, software developer, with 370,000 positions opening up in the next few years and a median annual salary of $121,000. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
Surgeons at the University of Maryland have transplanted a pig's heart into a dying man. Doctors say 2 days later, the 58-year-old Navy veteran was sitting in a chair and cracking jokes. Morgan Norwood, ABC News.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Chippewa County officials are clarifying when details regarding the investigation report into Sheriff Travis Hakes could be released. According to a WEAU report, the county cannot provide access to the report until at least October 2nd. The county board will hold another discussion on the matter on October 10th, at which time they may decide to authorize charges and pursue statutory removal of the sheriff. Sheriff Hakes released a statement accusing the board of disregarding due process. He vows to fight to keep his job. The herbal supplement kratom may become legal in Wisconsin if a newly proposed bill makes its way into law. Republican Assemblyman John Macko, one of the authors of the bill, hopes legalizing kratom will give residents alternatives to opioids for chronic issues, claiming it replicates opioids without the addictive effects. The FDA and DEA have previously issued warnings about using kratom, and criticism from law enforcement stopped Republican lawmakers from legalizing it last year. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
From the kennel to the coop, whatever the season, Fleet Farm has everything to keep your animals happy and healthy. From training your pup to sit season, to mastering those retrieval skills season. From clipping your horse for competition season, to keeping the backyard birds well-fed season. And of course, loving your pets like family season. There's a reason people say, if Fleet Farm doesn't have it, you don't need it. Because we have it all. Fleet Farm. Built for real life.
The 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline is here and ready to help anyone experiencing a suicidal, mental health, or substance use crisis. Call, text, or chat 988 to get connected to a trained Lifeline counselor. 988, here to support you. Sponsored by Wisconsin DHS.
Medicare open enrollment starts October 15th. Countless mailers and TV commercials will tell you you're missing out on some benefits. But don't be tricked into an Advantage plan you don't need or that doesn't cover your current medication. Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol can help you prevent, detect, and report Medicare fraud. Visit Wisconsin Senior Medicare Patrol online at smpwi.org.
More than 80 million Americans depend on AM radio each month for news, weather, and emergency information. A new bill in Congress would make sure AM radio remains in cars. Because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only lifeline. Text AM to 52886 and tell Congress to support the AM Radio for Every Vehicle Act.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Menu and more at scotchamamas.com.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show for your Friday. Good to be with you today, Matt Patrick. Coming up here the entire 4 o'clock hour today, I'm very happy to have Paul Metza in studio with Rick Shefchik, who is, of course, the co-author of their new book, Blood in the Tracks, the Minnesota musicians behind Dylan's masterpiece. They'll join us to talk about the book, and it's going to be Metza and I, so I imagine we'll talk a lot about northern Minnesota, too. Hi, Patrick. How are we today?
Doing all right. Looking forward to the rain this weekend. Maybe, hopefully, not so much severe weather, but rain, not such a bad thing.
Is it going to rain? Is it raining all weekend or just on Saturday? I thought it was Saturday, pretty much.
I've seen conflicting reports about that. Could have it kind of spill into Sunday a little bit, too.
I'm trying to hope to get out to enjoy a little bit of the Arboretum on Sunday, so hopefully it's not raining too much out that way. No matter what, I'm not going to complain, though. We need rain so desperately, that's fine. If I have to walk in a few drips, I'll do that. I hope you have a wonderful weekend planned. I got tickets. I'm going to go over to the Guthrie this weekend. The Importance of Being Earnest is over there. They got their brand new season kicking off. I'm going to go check that out. I'm looking forward to that. So whatever you're up to, if it's got an apple orchard or something like that involved, good for you. Good for you. You're doing it right. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205 is the phone number. We had to start off. I got to start off with the news that, it's predictable. Neighbors are still concerned about a developer's proposal to build a 5-story apartment building in the Parkwood Knolls neighborhood on the western edge of Edina. The proposal sparked outrage from neighbors early this year. Developer Solheim proposed 89 apartments in the building, all priced to be affordable to people making up to 60% of the area median income. Now, as you could imagine, this is already going to skew this fairly high as far as, the needy goes. This is that would have qualified people who make $52,500 a year for a single person, or basically $75,000 for a family of four. They would be qualified for these new low-income housing that they have there. Now, a quick little reminder here. I should talk to you a little bit about the history there. Basically, communities are supposed to have their own lower-income housing available. And if I remember correctly, and I don't know the exact how it happened, but there was basically a plan that was put in place that basically said that you had to have low income housing in your community. Every neighbor, every town, every had to have some level of lower income housing. But someone put a clause in there saying you could basically pay a neighboring community to have your low income housing for you. And so basically that's what they did. And for many years, we're for equity, but not in our town, that sort of thing. And they changed that. That got changed quite a few years ago. But it has still been, tooth and nail there. Now, and I want to describe, this is not exactly in the heart of a neighborhood. From the rendering I saw, it's what, Bren Londonderry and 169. It's just an apartment complex right there, right on 169. So it doesn't look like it's in some sort of cozy neighborhood. But these are also the same people in Edina that were so up in arms over a bike trail, the 9 Mile Creek bike trail being built into the criminal element on the bikes was going to come on in. That was going to be the case. And also, I should mind you, Parkwood Knolls, if you've been a long-time listener of the show, you'll remember Parkwood Knolls showed up once before on the United Dyna 273 debacle. Now, if you don't remember that, what it was there's parts of a diner that are in the Hopkins School District. And they basically tried to get the Hopkins School District to accept them because they said, you should unite, Edina should be united. But there was a funny story about their whole argument. They weren't really looking to unite Edina because the townhomes down on 169 in Brun Londonderry, the apartment complexes up on 5th Lincoln and 169 and the entire area of northern Edina that's north of Interlochen, which is more working class homes, they were excluded from this whole Unite Edina thing. This was about Parkwood Knolls, and it seemed like it was being pushed by the developer of that area, who basically was trying to say, well, we can charge an extra $20,000 per house if it's in the Edina School District. And so they were trying hard, and it failed. And you know, I got into a screaming match with a guy at the school board meeting who basically I said, you can move. And they said, that's our right to move our district if we want to. I said, no, it's not. And he was screaming at the top of his lungs, and he just stopped and just started talking. He said, it was the map where we left the lower income housing in Hopkins, right? And I said, yes, it was. That was a big part of it. And he goes, I told them we should have done it, and he walked away. It just tells you everything you know about. So this is a recurring theme, per se. The developer submitted a sketch plan in May to get feedback from the city council, but is not committed to building anything. Still, some neighbors want to make sure the council member remember they oppose this building. Last week, the city council received a petition signed by more than 50 residents of townhouses near the proposed development. The petition argued the proposed building is not in line with the city's zoning rules or comprehensive plan to add too many people and cars to the neighborhood designated by large houses and large lots. Once again, it looks like, at least from the picture that accompanied this story, it looked like it's right there on 169 and Brent Londonderry, so it's not exactly tucked in the mansions back there. So it's your standard, you know, not in my backyard crap, and it's what you expect from Edina. McNeil! Oh, God, no. Yes, it's me, Edina guy. Where the hell have you been? I've not really looked for you. You're really more of a pain in the tuckus for me. But needless to say, I'm back now. Well, that's good to see you, Edina guy. Have you had a nice summer? It's been fantastic. I have been wining and dining Sam Alito all over the place. Oh, yes. It's nice. I've got one of a limited edition of 9, basically. He'll do everything I want. Sit, Sammy, sit. Good boy. I love that. He's mine. I've taken him to Acapulco. I've taken him to Tulsa. We've had a blast. He's so willing to rule however I tell him on Supreme Court rulings. Well, that's disturbing, Edina guy. I'm presuming you're actually here because you heard me talking about yet once again another one of your city's stories here, where it's the not in my backyard. Not in my backyard. How dare you? How dare you, I say. We are the most welcoming people ever. Let me tell you something. Manservant Claude, come here, Manservant Claude. Come over here. Manservant Claude, am I like one of the most welcoming, nice people you've ever met? Sure. Thank you, Manservant Claude. Now get away from me. You lesser person because you work for me. Yes, you see, we love having all these people here, just not those people. We just don't want lower-income housing here.
Low-income housing? People who make $75,000 a year for a family of four, that's pretty good money. That's not exactly low-income housing.
Low-income housing for you, who you barbarians trying to come into our town with your minivans and your jump rope. Oh, I can see where this is going. This is just an intrusion. Intrusion from you. You evil, vile Hopkins people. Get away. Get away. Boo, boo, boo. Get away. Back. I'll get the hose. No, you are not welcome here, and that is just that, because this is pristine territory meant for the virgin skin of Edina people.
Okay, well, can I ask you a question, Edina guy?
Sure.
You have a ton of apartment complexes over by Southdale. I don't know if you've been over there lately, but you guys have been building those like crazy over there.
Well, you see, those are for rich people. You can't even think about breathing in the direction of those buildings unless you're wealthy, wealthy, wealthy. Money, 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 money. You see, we have those just for the wealthiest of wealthy. You are not welcome there. I mean, I think minimum income is somewhere in the area of a billion or something like that. I don't know. I'm guessing, isn't that the cost of a dozen eggs is like $1 million? No, I have no idea. Needless to say, that's for wealthy people. And wealthy people, they will rip out any parking lot or tear down any neighborhood to get more of them in here. But these low-income individuals at $52,000 a year, how dare you? How dare you? Even if it's near the industrial area and on a highway. I mean, you bring those people in here. You know what comes in next? An Arby's. Oh, and then we're starting to get like an ice cream joint. Ooh, God, no. No, you keep back, you heathen people. Keep back. This is only for the pristine Italian people. You are not welcome here. You just shoo. Get away. Get away.
All right, Adina guy. Thanks, Adina guy. I appreciate you coming in here and all my best to you. And, say hi to manservant Claude.
Who are you talking about? I have no idea who you're talking about.
Never mind. Thank you, Adina guy. Predictable as always. That's where you go with it. You guys, I get it. You still think that there is, a pristine nature to your community, that you can't be soiled there with anyone else. But then you this is not the biggest hurdle for you to cross. I live in a neighborhood where there's apartment complexes and condos a few blocks away from me. Not had any problems. As a matter of fact, I mean, I've lived there for 22 years now, and there's been minimal in the way of any problems here. But you guys, wealthy guys, you're paranoid and off the freaking cuff. You guys are nuts because you like to sit there and act as if any kind of infrastructure development that happens to help anyone who makes less than $1 million a year is somehow the deforestation of wealth within Edina. And it's just stupid. Come on, you need people in your town to do basic work. And I get it. You say to yourself, well, we'll just ship them in from other communities. But that's not the sign of a successful economy or society. It's just not. And once again, can I make the point? We're not even freaking talking about low-income people here. 52, 500, 75? I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that they're rolling in money. But it's not like you're bringing people in that make $36,000 a year individually or $52,000 for a family of four. We have a lot of people in this country who like to claim that they're Christians. And they like to. They do. They like to claim that they're Christians. They like to care that they care about society and like to do these things. But you find out when with the real ugliness of American society when you try to build something like a homeless center in a community where they desperately need homeless housing or a treatment facility for people who are going through drug addiction or other mental health issues. And, heaven forbid we get those people in here. Or you just want to build an apartment complex, which is just trying to give, the people who basically are probably the full-time workers at the lowest jobs within the community an ability to buy a place that's near where they work at least. And that is a bridge too far for you. And I can get it. I'm going to get you're going to give me all these things and all these rules and all these things. And we all see it. No, it's you're just... That's the lies you tell yourselves to basically just do something because you're selfish. You're selfish, and that's all it is. And no, it's Edina. You're not going to see my property values plummeted. No, they're not. This is about basically creating a gated community without the gate. And I'm sorry, I find it to be disgusting. Jokes aside with the Dyna guy, I find it to be disgusting. Because I thought we were better than this. Whatever, you guys, I hear these people that talk about whatever happened to the good old days. Well, whatever happened to people caring about other people and not looking at their bank accounts first to determine whether or not they wanted them near them? It's an ugly sign, but hey, That's Edina. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950, here to tell you about the exterior construction company I trust, Snap Construction. If your home was hit with the most recent storms, trust the most well-reviewed exterior construction company, Snap Construction, for a free home inspection.
This is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. There are a lot of great construction companies in town. My advice is to take your time and do your research. Make sure they are locally owned and that they guarantee their craftsmanship for life. Also, you want to find a company that's been in business for at least 10 years. You want to work with a company that's going to be there long after the work is done. Snap Construction has handled thousands of claims, and we'll help you through the process.
Don't go with the out-of-town, fly-by-night contractor. Most storm damage goes missed by the untrained eye. Trust Snap Construction for your free storm damage evaluation. For your free storm damage evaluation, call Snap Construction at 612-333-SNAP or visit them online at snapconstruction.com. That's 612-333-SNAP or snapconstruction.com.
Hi, this is Philip Anthony, the host of the Downright Upright Show, the place to go to hear out loud and proud what Minnesotans are thinking. I interview many interesting people and listen to their thoughts on how they plan to better our community and to hear their opinions on current events. Join us and get in on the conversation. You can listen to my podcast, The Downright Upright Show with Philip Anthony, wherever you listen to podcasts or at am950radio.com. So come and join me and continue being fantabulous.
It's an absolute must for any true foodie. Vinaigrette at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis offers premium oils and vinegars for the most discriminating of tastes. This is Sarah Piepenberg, owner of Vinaigrette. We bottle on-site, there's no guesswork, and you get to taste test each and every oil and vinegar we offer. Our direct relationship with the growers ensures an uncompromised level of satisfaction. When you need to know you're cooking with the finest ingredients, first contact the independently owned Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. We got a few stories we got to get through today before I get to Metza Rick Shefchuk, who's going to come in once again next hour. Blood in the Tracks is the name of the book. And we're going to have them for the full hour. And, of course, Metza and I are going to talk about going up north. First of all, Brianna Biersbach over at Star Tribune. A panel of federal judges says the government didn't violate Mike Lindell's constitutional rights when the FBI agents seized his phone last year in the drive-thru of a Mankato's Hardee's. God. Oh, those Frisco burgers, man. They're tasty. Mike, I'm with you on that one. The judges uphold, and the bun's so pillowy. The judges upholding the lower court ruling said the agents had a warrant that explicitly authorized them to search and seize his cell phone as part of the federal investigation. Lindell's irritation as to where and how the government took possession of his cell phone does not give rise to a constitutional claim, let alone a showing of callous disregard for his constitutional rights, said the ruling. So basically, they actually had a warrant to get his cell phone. They had a warrant to do that. They went and got it. He just didn't want to give them the cell phone, so he was saying his constitutional rights were violated. Actually, with the warrant, your constitutional rights actually were firmly in place. Lindell, the CEO of Minnesota-based MyPillow, is the subject of an ongoing federal investigation into the security breach and publishing of forensic images of election software used in the 2020 election of the Mesa County, Colorado. Lindell has repeated the false claim that voting machines were rigged to legally give more votes to President Joe Biden than former President Donald Trump. And by the way, funny story, Donald Trump lost. In Star Tribune interview after his cell phone was seized, Lindell likened the FBI seizure of his cell phone to Gestapo in Nazi Germany at a Hardee's. Well, no, I added at the Hardee's, he was getting food at Hardee's. Those biscuits, man. Roy Williams, those biscuits, man. You can't, what are you doing? After calling his lawyer, Lindell turned over his phone, but he quickly sued to block the review of his contents and have it returned to him immediately, arguing he uses it for day-to-day running of his business. So what are you doing now?
I mean, that's a pretty dumb argument, because considering your phone is, they have your phone, they didn't violate your rights. How are you basically doing day-to-day business if you don't have your phone? I mean, that's going to be a quick one to laugh out of court, which they kind of did. In its ruling, the panel said Lindell acknowledged in a sworn declaration that he backed up the phone 5 days before it was seized, meaning he had access to the vast majority of information it contained. While he has been deprived of possessions, he just doesn't want to see what's on the phone, which makes you kind of wonder, what's on the phone, man? You know, is that, can that be part of like a Happy Meal? Well, you know, or whatever. What's, is there a Hardee's equivalent of a Happy Meal that you basically go over there and you get yourself one of the, like a mini Frisco burger, some fries, and we'll give you a copy of the transcripts of what's on Mike Lindell's cell phone. I mean, that's eating good in the neighborhood right there. While he has been deprived of possession of his phone, he has not been deprived of the phone's contents, other than perhaps a limited slice of no more than 5 days' worth of information that he's neither detailed or identified and with any particularity to its vitality to his business. However, the court said the government would need to provide justification for continuing to hold Lindell's phone, which they had for more than a year. Absent sufficient justification, the government has no right to hold onto property that's not contraband indefinitely, the panel wrote. No charges have been filed in this investigation, but Lindell is the subject of multiple lawsuits around his false claims and election fraud. He and MyPillow face a $1.3 billion defamation lawsuit from Dominion Voting Systems and Smartmatic. Lindell and MyPillow have also filed lawsuits against the voting machine companies, which they will not win. A private arbitration panel has also ordered Lindell to pay a computer forensic expert $5 million for Lindell. After Lindell said he would pay that sum to anyone who could disprove the data he claims showed Chinese interference in the 2020 election, Lindell is countersuing in that case, but needless to say, he's going to lose that one too, and will probably have to pay legal fees there. I just don't know how you unbury yourself from this hole. And I think the argument you're going to, the FBI is going to have here is that, yeah, we haven't accessed the phone because we can't legally do that until the legal challenge is over. But now the legal challenge is going to be over. Well, then it's not. He's probably going to, Mike is going to, hey, Supreme Court justices, I need you to save me. I can tell you right now, he's scrambling. If this was just business information, if it was just MyPillow stuff, I think he'd probably be okay with it to a point, you know, unless he was doing illegal dealings, which it seems like he runs his MyPillow business, you know, on the up and up at least. You know, he used a lot of money to advertise with right-wing organizations, but I don't think he did anything wrong there. So I don't know. And so I doubt that if it was just business stuff, that it would be stuff that would, you know, be something he'd be too concerned about. I would be more interested to see if, you know, he has text messages going back to, oh, I don't know, 2020. And in the days after the election and in conversations with the White House and stuff like that. I wonder if that would be the case. Needless to say, they can still keep the cell phone. And who doesn't love a good Hardee's meal? If you're looking for, it's one of the better ones. I'm not going to deny that. I don't know. Something about the beef patties. I think that they're tasty. But I will say this. If you do one of those like monster things, you know, you need to prepare yourself. Your body's not going to, you know, take that too well. That's going to be something where you're going to regret that, especially on a road trip.
No, definitely not. You do want to head over on Thick Burger Thursday, though.
Thick Burger for Thursday?
Yeah, they got some nice deals on Thursdays.
Oh, it's also what I call my my OnlyFans page on Thursdays, Thick Burger Thursday. So look for that. man, oh God. All right, was it a Thursday? Was it a Thursday? He was busted with his phone.
I'd have to go look that up.
Oh, we might have to check that out. Maybe that's what Mike Lindell was going. It was Thick Burger Thursday. How do you pass that up? 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. Let's take a break. Come on back. Keith Ellison has weighed in on SROs again, and the Republicans once again give up the ghost as regards to what their motivation is. 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. We know dental anxiety and dental phobia are real. We'll take the time to get to know you and give you what you need to be comfortable at all times. We offer free nitrous oxide laughing gas and have high-tech options to help you feel calm and relaxed during your appointments. We'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call, because we don't like to see anyone in pain. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth, because they're the only ones you get.
This is Chad, owner of AM950. I've been going to Chambaud Family Dentistry for years. They get me in last minute when I'm in pain and make regular checkups easy and comfortable.
Chamblatt Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at chamblattfamilydentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
I'm the host of Exploring Sovereignty with Elizabeth. In this radio show and podcast, we have conversations with heart-centered thought leaders to explore their pathway to becoming free, and we will shine a light on what has been hidden, often in plain sight, what they pay attention to, and how it has transformed them and others into a higher level thinking and feeling state during this time of great change. Explore being consciously aware, authentically free, and courageously sovereign with us. Sundays at 11 a.m. on AM 950, and check out our early release episodes that drop Thursdays on your favorite podcast apps.
I'm Candy Bravel.
I'm Elizabeth Sullivan.
And I'm Kelly Wagner.
Energize yourself with AM 950's Sunday Shine Radio from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
Sunday Shine Radio radiates wellness, consciousness, and curiosity.
Join me, Candy Bravel, for Green Tea Conversations at 10 a.m.
Exploring Sovereignty with Elizabeth at 11 a.m.
And the Being Curious Show at noon.
Our lineup focuses on igniting your own self-discovery and personal wellness.
Tune in every Sunday for Sunday Shine Radio from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m.
And let us guide you on an inspirational journey each week.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for cloudy skies today with a high near 74. Tonight, a chance for thunderstorms with a low around 65. And Saturday, more rain with a high near 76. If you're craving barbecue, then don't drive too fast or you'll miss Scotch Your Mama's Hot Barbecue, located at 3 West Diamond Lake Road in Minneapolis. Scotch Your Mama's offers mouth-watering baby back ribs, grilled chicken, and half-pound pulled pork sandwiches. Find their menu and more at scotchyourmamas.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205. So, once again, SRO world, Republicans are screaming that this is, it's unjust to put any restrictions on a police officer in the school, even though two new, we brought about the one element. We talked about the fact that when it comes to special needs students, police haven't been able to do what this law prevents for 10 years. And at no point have the police or Republicans insisted that's how can you stop them. I will also say I had a lot of people point out that these laws, this wasn't jammed down our throats. This was, they had hearings, they had meetings on this. At no point did anyone bring up any problem with this, and did no point did anyone bring any problem up with this during the summer up until the school year got ready to start. This is a manufactured problem. And I will say this, many of the Minnesota Reformer has an interesting story where they basically talk about how the same Republicans, they did not have a problem with this when it came to the, you know, pull, you know, doing this, you know, stopping this from, you know, police from banning, restraining prisoners like this in prison. This is, you know, the story, and this is this, Michelle Griffith on this one. Most of the state Republican caucus supported a 2021 law that banned corrections officers from putting inmates in a prone or face down position. Now, however, legislative Republicans want to roll back the law passed last year to seek to provide same protection for Minnesota students. So once again, I want to make sure we understand this. Republicans are saying that they feel as if these restraints are not good for prisoners in prison, but they're okay for a 13-year-old in a high school. That seems During the special session in 2021, the Minnesota legislature passed a wide-ranging public safety bill that included provisions banning correction officers from using chokeholds and prone restraints on inmates unless the hold could protect an officer or another person from great bodily harm or death. Lawmakers early this year codified similar protections for Minnesota K-12 students. But this time around, officers, police groups, and the Republicans say banning the use of prone restraints on students creates a safety risk. Now, I want to stop right there. So why? You've had these restraints on you for special needs kids. You yourselves pretty much en masse voted to prevent police officers from using this for prisoners. What is going on in these schools with these cops that you basically need to be able to chokehold a kid out at any given point? I mean, that doesn't... I'm really having a hard time wrapping my head around what is exactly the problem here for the Republican Party. It seems to me that this is something of a manufactured issue. They're just because they can't get suburban moms and dads angry when it's prisoners. So fine, okay, the right thing to do is not let them, you know, choke out a prisoner. But when it comes to kids, it's like, your kids can't be safe. If your kids can't be safe, why aren't we allowing the police to basically throw them down at any point? And so, yeah, no, this is a very odd thing. House Minority Leader Lisa DeMuth and Senator Zach Duckworth, a Republican, and Senator Warren Limmer of Rick McGover, among the most vocal Republicans calling on the change to restrain bans in schools. All three during the 2021 special session who passed the public safety package, including the ban on chokeholds and prone restraints in prisons. So all three of them have voted to prevent the police from doing these exact same holds on prisoners. But when it comes to doing this stuff on kids, that's perfectly fine for them. They are screaming at the top of their lungs. And once again, I want to be very clear here. A lot of the problem is the lack of Republicans or the lack of the news media to hold these Republicans accountable and say to them, you know, wait a second here. You know, this doesn't stop this stuff. I mean, they are allowing the Republicans and they have allowed the Republicans to say this stuff carte blanche without any really pushback on what their argument is. And the reality is that This is not necessary. As a matter of fact, Juvenile Justice Information Exchange had released an article here, what happened in Minneapolis when they removed police officers from schools. I had this article forwarded to me. A month after the murder of George Floyd, the Minneapolis School Board voted to end its contract with the Minneapolis Police Department to staff schools with armed school resource officers and tasked Minneapolis Public Schools Superintendent Ed Graff with creating a new plan for school safety. At the time, schools across the country were considering ending the presence of police officers in schools. In Minneapolis, Floyd's death moved what would have been a roughly decade-long conversation into action. By September 2020, 11 new unarmed public safety support specialists, many with law enforcement-related backgrounds, were in place on the Minneapolis Public Schools payroll. 2 years and one pandemic later, initial data and interviews with students and staff suggest that fewer Minneapolis students are being punished and consequently missing class or suspensions for other punishment. Significantly fewer students are having contact with law enforcement officers due to their behavior at school. During the 2020-2021 school year, when the Minneapolis police officers staffed schools, there were nearly 250 incidences where student discipline involved law enforcement in some way, ranging from conversations with an officer to legal action. In the first half of that last school year, it happened just 13 times. But racial disparities in school discipline remain. Black students make up about a third of the district student body, but accounted for 70% of disciplinary actions. Now, I will say this. There's one thing that I'll point out. 2020-2021 school year, they were in school a lot of that time, but there were, you know, it would depend a little bit on how much of those days were remote learning. And that could be a factor here. I'll be the first to kind of say this. I mean, it's not 2019-2020 where
kids in school at the beginning of the 2020 school year didn't go to school. So obviously that decreased a lot of things. But that next year, it depends on when there was remote learning, how much remote learning was going on. That's obviously a factor in those points. Outside Minneapolis' North Community High School this spring, a student said they were concerned about their safety in the wake of the latest school shooting, but junior Lindsay Lewis reacted with a shrug in discussion about replacing the police department school resource officers with new safety staff. I generally feel safe here. Things are going a lot better under the new school safety model, one Northside High School teacher said. The teacher requested anonymity, fearing potential negative attention in the wake of a teacher strike in early 2022. Our public safety specialist is well known in the community and is friends with my principal, who is incredibly well respected in North Minneapolis community, the teacher said. The safety specialist lives in the district and sends his own children to our schools. By the way, that would be, I got to make, that's one thing about this that I thought about is, think about how different SROs would react with kids if their own kids were in the school where the SROs monitored. As a matter of fact, I would make an argument. If you said that the only people who could be SROs were officers whose kids actually attended those schools, I think you could go back to the old language, because I do not think those police departments, I think there would be a very different mentality towards that. The biggest problem Minneapolis had was if someone feels like a crime is committed and they want law enforcement action, I can talk to them about if they pushed the SROs that had no right to say no. If a parent showed up and said they wanted to press charges an eighth grader who pushed another eighth grader, as much as we can talk and try to de-escalate, at the end of the day, there was nothing we could do to stop that. Many of the new school safety staff attended previously worked at local schools in Matlock, who is working with more to hire more over time, and the new school safety staff are more racially diverse. We sought to have a more diverse SRO group. We can only do so much with what the Minneapolis Police Department had to offer. The COVID-19 number, school closures, and the pandemic's far-reaching effects make precise comparisons difficult. Minneapolis Schools has not responded to Youth Today's request for data on the number of students who were diverted from suspension, expulsion, and other traditional discipline methods to other discipline responses. However, the data the district has released shows that Minneapolis Schools took about 1,900 disciplinary actions against students in the first half of the past school year. Minneapolis School took about 13,000 disciplinary actions, seven times as many during the 2018-2019 school year. So, just a smidge more. The last full year in person before the COVID hit. Over the past 5 years, the number of suspensions and expulsions has generally declined. That decline is a result of specific efforts in the district. So, basically, there's a lot less police interaction. When I was in the military, there were cops that used to sit outside a military post, and especially if they were wanted to make some money, they would basically pull over any GI in a car. And the reason why is that the U.S. military would make sure that that person paid the ticket, that unless it was something so obscenely out of line, that the military would go on out there and say, nope, you got to pay it and just be done with it, because that's what the deal was. And these officers and these police departments that were right outside the military bases knew that, hey, if we needed a few extra bucks, we just all of a sudden, hey, your taillight's not working effectively. You were going 1 mile over the speed limit, that sort of stuff. And, you know, you were paying. That was the way it was doing. That was a, you know, and by the way, you know, yeah, kind of abusive system by the police down there. But I don't see, is there a benefit to the police? Is there a monetary benefit or a statistical benefit to them to have seven times as many disciplinary actions against kids than before? Is there extra funds from the state or something? Is there something there we're missing? So, needless to say, SROs do not make your kids safer. And as a matter of fact, we've talked about multiple stories now that have said that SROs, at best, it's a mixed bag with plenty of negatives to go with, along with the marginal positives. In some cases, it seems like it's actually a worse option, just from what you see. On top of it, we've got now once again, these same Republicans who had no problem with special needs kids having these restrictions on police officers around them and prisoners having those restrictions on them. They had no problem with that. Which gets us back to Keith Ellison, who apparently wanted to try to find solution once again and point out the fact that you guys are making this stuff up. There is nothing stopping you from doing this stuff. On Wednesday, Ellison, in a written opinion, reiterated the changes passed by lawmakers last spring do not limit the types of reasonable force that may be used by public officers to carry out their lawful duties. I think we're all clear that a school resource officer or a contracted police officer may use reasonable force to prevent bodily injury or death or effect a lawful arrest to stop property damage. Ellison told NPR News on Thursday morning, they can do their jobs as they've been used to do them for so many years. The legislative changes do not prevent police from using prone restraints or acting or to restrain a student before other serious threats. If a student is misbehaving in a way that does not and will not harm the student or anyone else, professionals in the school still have many tools at their disposal, including other kinds of physical contact. I want to repeat that here, because once the argument is that we can't touch these kids. If a student is misbehaving in a way that does not and will not harm the student or anyone else, professionals in schools still have many tools in their disposal, including other kinds of physical contact, he said. So this is it's basically going on out there and, you know, laying the law straight. He's like, no, you guys, you know, and as we have said here, pretty much the only thing this law does is stops a cop from basically going up and say a right-wing cop sees a kid wearing a Joe Biden shirt walk into school and walks up to them and smacks them in the head saying, what you doing wearing a Biden shirt? Don't you know any better? And the kid cowers in fear and scared to death. And the reality is probably they still, in that scenario, probably wouldn't get in trouble unless someone happened to have one of their phones handy. And they had a phone handy, and they recorded him doing that. And then all of a sudden it's on the tickety-talk and the snappy chat and all that good stuff. And then all of a sudden this officer is being viewed as a thug in the school, which they are. And what the police seem to really be wanting to do is prevent that officer from facing any discipline for their inappropriate behavior. That, you know, hey, you know, I'm not saying I think it was right for him to smack the kid in the head for his shirt choice. But as opposed to fire the guy or charge him with assault, you know what we need to do? We're going to wag our finger at him, and then we're going to give him remedial training. Which doesn't mean anything. And that's what they want to do. And by the way, this is proven by the Republican response to Keith Ellison basically saying, you guys can still do anything you need to do to stop a crime or any of these things. You can do what you need to do. Following the release Wednesday, Ellison's latest opinion, Senate Minority Leader Mark Johnson of East Grand Forks said another opinion just demonstrates the need for legislative action to fix this. Students, parents, educators, school staff, and school enforcement officers all deserve a crystal clear law that everyone can understand without needing further clarification. You got it, Mark. You've got it, Marky Mark. And the dumpy bunch. You've got pretty crystal clear descriptions here. The only people that are acting as if this isn't crystal clear what you can and cannot do are the people who are screaming, it's not crystal clear what we can and cannot do. You just don't want any accountability whatsoever in regards to a police officer's actions in a school. And we've seen them, maybe not in Minnesota, but we've seen some of these videos of SRO officers in other states dragging kids by the hair out of chairs and out of desks and dragging them down the hall and punching them in the face. And after the fact, also the police department coming on, I was like, I know that people's tempers are flaring now, but I mean, we need to keep your emotions in check if I release this body cam footage that shows that my officer was completely out of line.
why is it so hard to get the most basic level of accountability? Hey, cop, you can't just go out there and start smacking a kid around because you want to smack a kid around, because you're some sort of weirdo that wants to impress an 18-year-old high school girl, so you think you can smack a kid around to try to get show that you're a tough guy, and then it gets caught on camera, and then all of a sudden you're having to explain it. You should not be a cop. You should not be in school. You should not be a kids. And once again, I'm saying 18-year-olds. Dear Lord, these are down to 12, 13-year-olds in some of these cases. No, I don't think it's a good idea to allow a cop without justification, without argument, without any reason or any justification whatsoever to go put a chokehold on a 12-year-old. And they do. And funny thing is, I can tell you one thing that I really get the vibe from their entire argument. It's not the white kids in their districts which they want this ability to grab kids and throw them around. It's the minority kids in the other districts that they want. That's the vibe I'm getting. That they want the police to go in there and crack some skulls. Not because it's their kid who will ever have their skull cracked, but because of those other kids. At least that's the vibe I'm getting from this. Republicans, police departments, certain school districts. And one final thing, I want to make sure I keep pointing this out. The people who have pulled these SROs out of the schools are not the Democrats, not the DFL. It's the police departments. It's the school districts. They're the ones that did this. So if something bad happens in their school, considering the majority of schools that still have SROs, that this was their call and their decision. And don't fool yourself. There's a lot of right-wingers that are hoping something bad happens in a school, not because of any other reason, but that they can use that violence as a political weapon. And that's all that they're looking. They're hoping something bad happens. Because if they're not hoping for that bad happens, well, maybe they should stop their whining and tell the cops to get back in their schools if they're so concerned about things. There's a hypocrisy in their argument as well. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. We'll take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
You know how it is with vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, then you throw them away, right? Well, not necessarily. Often, fixing your vacuum can be cheaper than replacing it. Ever heard of A1 Vacuum in Roseville? They offer free estimates. So if you wish your vacuum worked like new again, drop by. A1 Vacuum is ready to help clean up your vacuum cleaner act. Find us at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316.
Hi, this is Gina. Matthew, I will not read this next line.
I'll be your snookum wookums.
Fine. My husband is the sexiest radio host in Minnesota, Matt McNeil.
Dang straight.
When it came time to replace my vehicle, I wanted an option that was safe in the environment. I wanted a hybrid. My RAV4 hybrid is a greener vehicle without sacrificing style and comfort. I love my Toyota hybrid.
Toyota hybrids are incredibly fuel efficient. Test drive one today at Rudy Luther Toyota, 394 and 169 in Golden Valley.
Tune in this Saturday morning right here on AM 950 for the Gardening with Joy and Holly radio show from 7 to 8 a.m. We'll be discussing living walls inside your home as well as planting those fall mums. Our guest is chicken expert Lisa Steele will be with us, and we'll answer your garden questions. That's all this Saturday morning from 7 to 8 a.m. right here on AM 950. Tell a friend and let's grow together.
The ruling on the field stands. You can register as an organ donor regardless of your age or health. Even people with conditions like diabetes, high blood pressure, hepatitis, or cancer can donate. And age is not a factor. The oldest organ donor ever was 95. Don't fumble your chance to save lives. Get the facts and register as an organ donor today at life-source.org. That's life-source.org. Sponsored by LifeSource, this station, and the Minnesota Broadcasters Association.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show. Once again, Paul Metza and Rick Shefchik are going to join us. Blood in the Tracks,
Minnesota musicians behind Dylan's masterpiece. They're going to come in studio for the entire 4 o'clock hour to talk with us about this. This will be fun. And plus, he's doing a big shindig over at Electric Fetus. We'll talk to him about that. That's coming up tomorrow as well. You know, I'm kind of been surprised. Speaking of news stories that I'm kind of shocked did not get more traction, the Wayzata Nazis. I was a little surprised the Wayzata Nazis didn't get any more traction. But they finally, someone did. I think it was this Axios covered this, or I can't remember who covered this. Someone finally put a news story out on the Wayzata Nazis. There are a few things more pathetic than a Wayzata white supremacist, but last week, several such people hiding behind masks gathered on a pedestrian bridge over Highway 12. They unfurled banners with slogans like, end white genocide, white unity is strength, and diversity means anti-white. Wayzata is in Hennepin County, which has a long-standing reputation as a bastion for progressive and anti-racist organizing. That led many observers on social media to express surprise and even disbelief that a white supremacist organization could have a foothold there. But data compiled by the Southern Poverty Law Center shows that numerous hate groups are active in Minnesota and have been for years. They include obscure neo-Nazi organizations like the Folkish Resistance Movement, as well as more known hate organizations like the Proud Boys and Patriot Freedom. All told, the number of hate groups that are active in Minnesota has fluctuated between 6 and 12 in any given year, according to the SPLC's data. In 2022, the number stood at 8. Here they are, the Austro-Folk Assembly, a so-called neo-Volkish organization that tends to organize around notions of Northern European ethnic identity. The group made national headlines when it purchased a church in Murdoch, a tiny town west of west central part of the state. The Folkish Resistance Movement, a pro-Hitler organization that distributes anti-Semitic propaganda. The Heartland Patriots, which is an active statewide and generally adheres to white nationalist ideology. The Patriot Front, another white nationalist group who rose from the turmoil following the 2017 white supremacist rally in Charlottesville, Virginia. In Minnesota, they vandalized storefronts and distributed racist propaganda at college campuses. The Proud Boys, I'll never forget, and I'll tell you what, I'll never forget when I had a friend, a good friend, a friend I'd had for years, say to me, oh, I don't know why everyone's getting mad at the Proud Boys. They're just proud of their heritage. And you're like, wow, I quickly, and I do mean quickly, unfriended that person. Yikes. Proud Boys, the journal hate group that was active in January 6th insurrections at the U.S. Capitol. They've held rallies in the state and recently attempted to disrupt a drag queen story hour in Chaska. They didn't. The Sons of Liberty Media, an Annandale-based media outlet that focuses on general hate and conspiracy theories. The organization leader is Bradley Dean, a man who formerly ran far-right anti-gay youth ministry and rock band, once received a donation from the campaign of then-state Representative Tom Emmer, who is now the congressman representing the 6th District. Emmer also appeared on Dean's radio show, though he's distanced himself from Dean and anti-LGBTQ bigotry during his 2010 campaign for governor. Never forget where Tom Emmer came from, by the way. The Black Sun Tribe Project, another neo-focus group active statewide, and a group called The Remnant, an anti-Semitic radical Catholic group based in Forest Lake. Really? The Southern Poverty Law Center keeps tabs on 11 additional anti-government extremist groups in the state, including Moms for Liberty chapters and the Genesis Communication Network, which broadcasts conspiracy theories through Alex Jones's radio show. While those groups adherent typically hold fringe far-right beliefs, their ideologies are not as explicitly rooted in racial animosity as a typical hate group. It's important not to overstate the influence of the hate groups listed above, as some may only count as a handful of supporters statewide, though. But as the events of last weekend illustrated, it only takes a handful of white supremacists to cause a scene in public. And that's the truth. And that's the truth. And once again, one of the things that we have to make sure we understand is that these are fringe groups. But you do not confront these and put these guys back on the compounds out in Montana by ignoring them. You condemn them, and you condemn them strongly, which is kind of a little bit of a surprise why hardly anyone in the news media in this town did. I was a little surprised by that. Hour two, that's up next.
Hi, I'm Kelly Kirk.
I'm Chad Larson.
And I'm Joe Kirk.
Your hosts for Searching for Service. Tune in to Rotary's influential show and podcast, sharing touching stories of service locally and abroad.
We bring you weekly guests that connect, inform, and inspire our listeners on all things service.
We highlight diverse service opportunities that appeal to both Rotarians and people driven to serve in their communities.
Tune in Sundays at 3 p.m. or anytime via podcast. It's time
to stop searching
and start serving.
Next time on Philosophy Talk, are we living in a simulation?
What if all this is fake? This table, this chair, even this Josh?
How would we know either way?
Maybe there would be telltale signs, like those glitches in the Matrix when things repeat themselves.
And maybe there would be telltale signs, like those glitches in the Matrix when things repeat themselves.
Are we living in a simulation? Next time.
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.